But if people want to go, they're going to go.
Yes.
Yeah. Just the way it is.
No, I completely understand that.
My tea's going to kill me, man. It was completely oblivious. But if in actual reality, I technically cheated, didn't it? It is what it is. Stop catching me at 4K cheating. It's just such a surreal feeling.
Mm.
And then it was at the point where I was like, it got quite emotional when I was leaving. People just need to just be like a little bit nicer to people, man.
What is going on, guys? And welcome to the Speed Soft Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Callum. And in today's podcast, we are joined by an absolute legend, Mr. Ash. Ash, first of all, man, how are you doing today?
Mate, the word legend's strong.
Legend, mate. OG. I was thinking about OG as well.
Yeah, it's been a few years I've been in it now.
Been in a while, yeah. Man. But yeah, if you just want to tell the guests a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, man. So, name's Ash, otherwise known as Ashes or Clennel. Been playing Speedsoft and paintball for a few years. Speedsoft predominantly is where I started over here. Part of the team Speed Reapers. Been with them since day one. So yeah, it's a little bit about me, I suppose.
And are you're one of the, is it correct, you're one of the captains, is that right, for TSR? Or
you've kind of got a few captains,
aren't you?
So we've got the main owner, who's like Finch.
Yeah,
yeah. Tall spaghetti lad. Then we've got Connor, who's one of the co-captains. He predominantly kind of works with the airsoft side of stuff. And then there's me, who kind of does a little bit more paintball, because it was me that kind of prodded the team to
do paintball,
do a little bit of PB stuff. So yeah.
Speaking of, are you guys doing the free man coming up at skirmish or? I know that's coming up.
What day is it?
I don't know. I think it's soon. I think somewhere in the next like 2 weeks or something, I'm pretty sure. Anyway,
it depends if it crosses over with dates for NSL, then no.
NSL coming up. Yeah, we'll talk about
a lot of that. So
yeah, definitely. And so I always ask, obviously, everybody that's come on the podcast, where did you kind of start your journey into like airsoft?
So I moved to Chesterfield, and I basically had a friend of mine who was playing just skirmish at an old site called Tack House. They're now Tack House the Stan.
It used
to be a Tack House in Chesterfield. And I borrowed a friend's kit, who used to be a marshal there. And that's how I just got hooked. I literally went and played one game day. And then after that, the next week, I went and bought a full setup. Just everything. Dropped like a few hundred quid. So I got like, I think I started out with an ASG MXR 18, so big long ass M4 thing. Like, and yeah, that's where it all evolved from, really. I just started playing skirmish with a couple of mates, like, and that was it.
Skirmish Woodland, is that?
No, it was CQB. So Tack House was like an indoor old mill. So it was like an old big ass mill, and it was like three floors tall, huge big warehouse, like massive on the back. It was just full of everything. It was insane. There was rooms that were that dark you could not see.
Fuck it, you know.
Like, it was a proper, like, 360-degree CQB intense site. Like, anybody that's been knows that that's an insane site.
Mm. So, obviously, I'm pretty sure you played at level 2, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was the early stages, right, of Speedsoft, really?
Yeah. So, obviously, we did some a while back, which was the Outpost tournament.
Mm.
So, Outpost at Chester. We went and placed, I think we placed fifth there for our first ever event, right? Mm. So bear in mind, we just started as a team, just as a CQB team.
Yeah.
And then we thought, oh, let's go have this, like, have a crack with this. And we had a go and did all right. And then level 2 announced that they'd done an indoor arena. So then when we heard that straight away, we was like, yeah, we've got to jump on this.
Mm.
Like, and that's where all sort of, our sort of full journey as a team started was there as well. Level 2 is insane.
I was saying obviously in the last podcast that's kind of what stemmed this whole. That's what I noticed anyway. Like, I started watching it on Facebook live streams when I started playing just general airsoft, and obviously I saw this obviously Speedsoft at level 2, and then I think it was like a couple months later that's when obviously the bunker came along, and then it's when obviously the outdoor side of that. And speaking of, you even was a head ref at one point, was you not?
Oh, for bunker, comp. So Luke obviously started doing comps, knew that I'd done marshalling and reffing before, and was like, look, can you come in ref? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll come and do it. It's fun. I don't mind doing reffing. Like, it is fun. And it's just funny being able to watch people play. And you, like, you get to see, like, the little mistakes and funny bits from the sidelines instead of you being involved, and it's less serious. So you can kind of have a bit of laugh and stuff.
Yeah. So to be fair, I think that was one of my first comps when you was the head ref at the Bunker Comp.
Yeah, it was... It was a madness, that comp, though, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
Everybody was so hectic on
that. It's mad as well. Some of the teams that was obviously there that, you know, not around anymore, you know, TWW, Josh, when you're coming back.
Yeah, he needs to come back.
Bro. Very, like, he needs to. He's got no excuse now, is
it? That blue and pink build he's selling, he just needs to keep.
Just keep one.
Just play.
Because his whole excuse was, I can't drive or anything like that. But now he's driving. He's driving now, so what's the excuse?
A whip and that, he can get involved now.
Exactly, man, exactly.
Josh and TWE for the return should happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, disappointing.
Needs to happen this year. So obviously you mentioned a little bit. So how was TSR formed? Sorry, it was formed by Finch, is that right?
Finch, yeah. So Finch kind of bumped into me at Tack House originally as a marshal. And then I went to, I think it was HQ up like, where is it? Hallway?
Mm.
Somewhere kind of that way. And he saw me playing, and back then I was playing with a Kappa.
Kappa? Let's go.
I had a sick little build, to be fair. And it was, it's actually on a video. Like, I was just playing with him all day. We were just rocking Kappas. And this is like an outdoor and CQB site. And we were just smashing all day with pistols. And like, there was like, on the video, you see me like completely clap a couple of lads just by one balling and stuff. And he messaged me, like, I think it was a week later. And he was like, hey, look, me and Mark, who was one of the original founders as well, we want to start up a team. Like, just like a speed soft kind of team. We want to start doing more about it. Are you in? So I was like, yeah, man. I was like, how many people you got? And he was like, well, it'll be us three. And I was like, right, I've got some people. I'll get back to you. And that's when I pulled, obviously, Connor in and originally Riley.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the original core five was us.
Mm.
Was the original first generation.
First members.
I should say.
Nice, man, nice. And so we'll switch it up a bit. So obviously you've got NSL in the cards coming up. You guys are going to be taking part in challenges, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So first one's in the beginning of March.
Hey, so that's close, that, man.
A couple of weeks, yeah.
That crazy. Is close.
It comes quick. People don't realise it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So obviously you played in, was it round two and three with challenges last year, or did you play all of them?
We played two and three last year because we were supposed to go to Poland. We got invited to Poland's comp.
Yeah, yeah.
And we was like, yeah, let's just go there. It'll be great. Mm. Let's go. Let's try something different. Yeah, trying to get to Poland's nuts, man. Like, trying to fly there, it costs an arm and a leg. Trying to drive through there, you have to go through Germany, so you need like one of them F stamps on your gun. All this, that, and the other, which costs money and time. I was just like, yeah, we can't go now. So for us to fly, it was like something like nearly £500+ a player just to
wow. sort of
get everything over and do everything. And I was just like, yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, that
so that's why we ended up missing out C1 and the Poland stuff. That's why we ended up, I think we did like one of the bunker comps instead for a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
So
one thing I've never asked any of the guests that have obviously been to NSL, like, what, how is the cost like? Or going to NSL in the Netherlands, and like, how do you actually do it? Because obviously, I can't imagine you could walk straight through like customs with your rifle and your bag and that too. I'm guessing
it's not so right. So driving directly to Netherlands, so you normally go through like from here to the Hook of Holland. Like, it's not too bad. A little bit more pricier because the ferry is a little more this and the other. But to be fair, customs is pretty easy to get through.
Oh, is it?
They're pretty chill, unless you get unlucky like we did and somebody had some contraband in the car in front of us. So we were held up for like 2.5-3 hours. Then like they checked us over because they were obviously annoyed with that guy. They were like, we want to see your papers. We want to see this. We want to see that. And I was like, great. So we had to like, I only had 5 papers. And apparently there's this thing, right, where we were told originally the paperwork was 1 per person for their gear. Then it turned out this guy was like, well, actually, it's a piece of paperwork per gun.
Oh, wow.
So I had like everybody's kit in my car, and I had at least, I'm going to go with about 7 or 8 different riffs plus about 5 pistols.
Yeah.
And I had 4 people in my car. So I had 4 pieces of paper for a ridiculous amount of riffs and stuff like that. So I had to just blag it. I just pulled the first 2 cases. I was like, that's all I've got. And he was like, you've got nothing else in the boot? And I was like, no, nothing else. And he was like, okay, you could go. I was like, oh, thank you.
Oh, gosh.
But cost-wise, it was, yeah, it's more expensive to do it that way. We've managed to sort of look at it a little bit of a cheaper way this year. On average, to go over for a full team, I'd say you'd look between around 400 to 500 a person. But okay, that's really the more expensive way. This year, we've kind of chopped that by a couple hundred quid.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we've managed to sort of manage to get a little bit more price savvy with certain bits now, because we've been a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of going directly to Holland, I think we're going through Calais. So we're going through France and everything.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit easier to do it that way, a little bit cheaper. I think the border is a little bit harder to get through, but I'm going to do all the
paperwork. I guess it's just like your car isn't that kind of stuff, is it?
Yeah, there's a couple of little bits car-wise. You obviously have to have like a shitload of like road safety stuff.
Yeah.
All high vis for everyone, and they're a little bit more aggy on paperwork. But yeah, as long as you've got everything, we normally do anyway. So
How long is the drive? Because I bet it's a decent drive, you know?
From here to the port, it's about 4 hours. Once we get off at Calais to Netherlands, where we're staying, it's about 3 hours.
Wow, that's a long...
The ferry's only like 2 hours. So normally when you go on Stena Line, it's like an 8-hour ferry. So you catch a cabin, you get like 4 or 5 hours sleep or something.
Yeah, you get some sleep in there.
Get up, get some food, and then you're there. And then you're kind of a little bit more energized to drive.
Mm.
Not this time. We're straight balling travel for the whole time.
Yikes. That seems long, I won't lie. So anyway, yeah, so challenges 2, challenges 3. Obviously, I said it in the last podcast, I was rooting for you boys. And, didn't get the result that you probably wanted. Mate,
challenges 2, we went in and we did really well. And due to a couple of little technical errors, like one of them was kind of my fault. I beat myself up more about it than what I should do. But it was an admin error, which cost us the game to go through into like the quarters or whatever it was. So the round 2 was kind of my sort of mess up. But then on round 3, I just don't know what happened. We all had this massive breakdown, communication, teamwork, and we just couldn't score points. We could make the kills, bits on that, boys. And like even like taking people off break, like even I think we played DSD, like we were always taking 1 or 2 of them off break, we just couldn't get the points to tally up.
Yeah.
So we just struggled, and unfortunately it shows. But the thing is like a lot of people remember that loss over the good stuff we did.
Yeah.
That seems to happen a lot to us.
Yeah.
As a team, it's like everyone remembers, oh, well, TSR choked this and choked that. And it's like, how many trophies and medals did we take home last year?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone forgets that bit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
Everyone forgets the good bit. But yeah, it's for C3, we had a massive breakdown. We know what we did wrong. We're working on that and we're trying to improve.
Mm.
And we'll get there.
I say, so obviously, compared to last year to obviously this year's challenges, what can we expect differently than what have you obviously put in place? Training wise,
which we're working massively on our attacking side. We know we can lock a field off. We know we're really good at that, and we know we're good at holding people in. But what we need to really work on was our communication to when to push and being a little bit faster up the field. So we ended up working alongside with some of the Legion lads the other week. sort of did a few run throughs on games with them. We did a full day session, and we just literally did nothing but attack all day.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just in between, we just sort of spoke to him. Chape kind of gave us a few words here and there, you know, sold us through, gave us some feedback on bits on what we need to work on. And, you know, he said, next time you're up, I'll come down, we'll have a look again, reevaluate everything, and we'll keep going from there.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, well, I mean, like I said, like last year, I'll be rooting for you guys again. Always got to root for the UK guys.
No, I appreciate it.
So I'm hoping to see some good things at these challenges.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely.
We should be fine.
So obviously we mentioned the point system and obviously how it's different to the UK. Which one do you actually prefer? Do you prefer the NSL style rules, or do you prefer?
You see, I'm a stickler for this because I really enjoy paintball, so I enjoy the format of five man and a buzzer either side.
Because paintball is just straight kill, and then you get the buzzer, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's, for me, it's like I'm in a sport that I'm slinging like ammo at people. Like, I'm not there to try and play a time and do this sort of stuff. I'm there to try and out shoot someone, essentially. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I want to do. That's what I need to focus on. But I get why NSL does what they do, and the format is good. It's just hard to master. And unfortunately for us over here, it's hard to master that because we don't have access to like an NSL. Well, we do have access to the size of the NSL field, but we don't have access to the actual amenities like NSL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with what you've just said there. I do want to talk a little bit about paintball as well in this episode, but we'll get onto that in a minute.
On the speeds off, lodge. Oh no!
you know what? I'll throw my hands up here. I've been like absolutely just binge watching YouTube videos recently of just pure paintball. I don't know why. I've just suddenly got this urge to have a look at it, and you know, I'm suddenly trying it out. I'm going to try out the breakout division in a couple of weeks' time, so I'm quite looking forward to that.
And giving it a run, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, giving the whole breakout division to see how we get on and then go from there, I guess. Yeah. But which one do you... I'll ask you this, then. Which one do you actually prefer, paintball or speedsoft?
My team's going to kill me, man. Paintball. I enjoy paintball so much just because it's how can I put it? It's refined. It's been there a long time. So everything's easy to sort of go with. But I suppose I enjoy speedsoft just due to it's what I started off. You know what I mean? And competition's competition for me.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you been playing paintball? So I'm guessing you played paintball before kind of airsoft as well.
I played a little bit like mess around with sort of mates and stuff in when I lived in Spain and stuff. So like when I lived over there, I played a little bit with mates or whatever. Then when I came back over here, I did a few like fun days, like stag do's or whatever, and things like that. But I started playing properly more when I got asked to sort of go and guest for, you remember Harrison's old team, Lucid?
Yeah, yeah, Team Lucid.
I originally went just to go and help them in the pits one day. And then one of them just went, oh, just so you know, your name's down, you're playing this afternoon. So go get your kit on. I was like, how'd you know I had my kit on? He was like, You always have kit on. So I ended up getting my kit on, but I had like some flat ass like high tops, so it was wet field, so I was just slipping all over the place. And my first game I died in like 5 seconds because I slipped on my ass and I just got shot. So I was like, this is great. But after that I just got hooked, and then I went and got a marker and started playing with some mates. Then Finch was like obviously he's played for years as well in paintball. Like, he used to train with Effie and everybody before they became like Militia, like in MPX.
Yeah.
He used to play with the original people there.
Oh, wow.
So he's been around and played for a long time as well, you know? So he was like, yeah, I'm getting a marker back as well. So he got in, and then that's what I said earlier. I started prodding everyone. And I was like, hey, look, come play paintball. And that's how we ended up getting into that as well.
Nice, man, nice. And to be fair, I've seen a couple of podiums from TSR, right, in the paintball scene.
Yeah, so we got 3 first places overall in single events, and then we placed 2nd overall in the entire sort of league of it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we lost out by like a handful of points.
Wow.
So it was just due to when that same patch as C3, we went through this little dip where we just weren't working well as a team. And then after that little patch, we started picking up. And then the last 2 events, first place. And then we obviously won 2nd overall. That's good.
Yeah. And are you guys taking part in the... I don't know if I'm right in saying this. Is it like a league of paintball? The CPPS league or whatever?
I suppose it's a league. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is a league in a sense.
I mean, I'm still learning at this point. Like, I've only just learned, obviously, like all the different divisions and that kind of stuff.
It's obviously, it's all the rounds in it. So they have 5 rounds for a season. It's just essentially a season of paintball.
Yeah, season,
This season we'll be going in again. Yeah, we'll be doing it again, but we're going into Div 4 this year.
Oh, Div 4. So. Okay, let's go.
So we're going up a little bit higher. So
yeah.
Just going to work it up round by round and just keep going as high as we can.
and this is one more for me, like, how do the actual, like, divisions work? So obviously you've got your breakout division, which is like the kind of entry level, right? And then obviously it goes up Div 5, Div 4, Div 3.
Yeah, yeah.
How, like, do you, like, the team decide, like, what division you go in, or is it someone else that chooses?
I think it's until you sort of get to, like, the higher divs, like Div 2 plus, is when they become a little bit more like, ah, well, you should kind of be in that div.
Yeah,
yeah. You should be in these divs. But to be fair, nobody really wants to go in, like, a lower div with a team when they know they can be going higher.
Yeah, yeah.
So most people tend to sort of respect the divisions that they should be playing in.
Yeah, definitely.
Every now and then you get people guessed for, like, lower division teams. Like, that happens a lot. Mm. Round 1 and round 5 are pretty known for it because it's kind of more relaxed sort of time to do it.
Mm.
But, you know, it's one or two players. It's not as if they do a full team of, elites coming into breakout. Do you know what I mean? But it's definitely... Breakout for, like, anyone is, if you've never done paintball, give it a go. But I do say don't be shy to go into Div 5.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not that much difference.
One thing that caught me, obviously, I haven't got my own, like, marker in that yet. Yeah. And obviously, I was speaking to a couple of guys, and they were saying, like, at the breakout division, they can provide you with, like, marker and stuff like that. So I think, you know, give it a try, see how I feel. And then, obviously, if it's something I fancy, then go for a marker.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
But no, I... Obviously, we spoke a little bit about the paintball. Obviously, I do really like the look of it, and we'll see how it goes. You know, it could be a paintball slash speed soft lounge, I guess.
I think you'll enjoy it more than what you think.
I do think I'll enjoy it. That's the scary.
Just expect it to hurt a little more. That's the only thing. Like, everyone goes in thinking, I'll be fine, and it hits harder, man. It hits so much harder.
I've seen some brutal clips, and they look painful. Put it that way. We'll go back to obviously the NSL. You actually played for Team Wales back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, how did that come about, Team Wales?
So we basically started up Team Wales because we wanted it to be more community-based. We felt the original team was going to essentially just be picked and nobody else was really going to get a massive shot. So we sort of contacted Fives and went, look, can we do England and Wales instead of just Team GB?
Yeah.
And Fives went, yeah, man, sounds good. So he split it out. And I think with that, it gave that little bit of a rivalry in a UK scene kind of a sense.
Yeah.
So obviously we sort of, we knew that OB were wanting to kind of go. So we sort of asked Andrew and a couple of their lads. We then asked around a few other teams because obviously... We started with essentially just a couple of lads from TSR that could do it, a couple of lads from OB. And we was like, right, really, we need a bigger roster. Mm. What can we do? So we started sort of trialing a few people from other teams here and there. So I said, look, come give this a go. Hence why we ended up getting like Keani. Mm. We had like Darren from Blackout. Who else do we have? My brain's dead. Obviously, there was like Jed, Andrew, Will from OB. It was me, Connor, Craig. I think that was it. I'm sorry if I forgot someone. My brain's like a sieve.
There's going to be that one person now in the comment section.
So
why did you forget me?
I'm so sorry. But no, it's like we just went over and like we knew we were underprepared, but we didn't realise how underprepared.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and it weren't until later on in the games where we started finding our track and going, right, this is what we have to do.
Mm.
And that's what kind of led to us beating Spain the way we did.
Yeah.
And then we should have really done Portugal in as well. But due to an error on admin side, not our admin, but actual like NSL admin, the timer got messed up.
Oh.
And when the guy told Connor what was going off with that, it was like, you've got 1:50 left. So he was like, well, we've just got to rush and go. Like, if we don't do this, we're not got any points. So we started rushing the last couple of rounds. And it turned out actually we had like 5 odd minutes left. So we lost our complete play style due to a mess up on admin.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously I made some daft run down the field. I managed to get like 2 or 3 of them or something. I think you hear on the shoes.
Is that the clip that you got where I think I've seen a clip on Instagram that was where you like ran Spain. Down loads of them. I was like,
That was in Spain. Mm. Right? So when I played Spain, it was like, I looked at the clock, seen there was 30 seconds. And I remember having a chat with Andrew and he was like, next time, man, when it's 30 seconds, just go.
Mm.
And I thought I was just the last man left. I didn't realise Andrew was still in the corner.
Yeah.
So I went, I'm going. And I was just like, I just ran. And I just remember the guy in the castle shot me in my like lower parts. I'm not going to say too much, but he shot me earlier on. And I was like, you're gone. I'm taking you with me one way or another. And I remember just coming around, lighting him up, looking up and noticing those other two weren't looking at me. So I was like, I'm going. And I just lit the two guys up, lit the guy at the back up. And I was just like, the guy in the middle turned on me. Like after I'd already hit him, and I just remember turning around and going, "Get out now! Get out!" Like obviously some other choice words. I'm gonna like keep it PG to a degree, but like, I was just like, "Get out now!" And then I just this massive pause. Like the commentators didn't know what was going off. The rest were like gathering because they were like, "What do we do?"
Yeah.
Even this, even like the coach for Spain was like, "Huh? Like what's going off?" So like none of us knew what was going on, and it turned out that. Because the refs had actually seen it, that two of the players hadn't took the hits and weren't going to get out. It was penalty, and then that made the overtime happen, and we ended up getting an extra 30 seconds, which is that infamous last battle against two of them, and like Connor managing to sort of run across, grab the flag last minute, and smashing the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you ever watch that clip, you can just hear the entire crowd screaming, mate. It was our first game we won all weekend, and it was just such a hype moment.
I can imagine. I can imagine the atmosphere to be pretty good.
So yeah, it was unreal, man. It was like being in a coliseum at that point. It was like just everyone screaming and banging on the walls. It was nuts.
Lovely, lovely. And obviously, after that, obviously, Team Wales only obviously did that one Nations, but they didn't do the 2024 Nations, did they?
Yeah, it just got revoked at that point. Some talks had happened with NSL and some other groups, and they just said, "Yeah, look, we're not going to do Wales this year. We're just going to leave it as Team GB." So that's why it ended up happening the way it was, unfortunately. So
yeah,
is what it is. It was like Team Wales was kind of based on it was for the kind of community kind of thing. So it was just trying to build a good. People with like, you know, whoever was interested in going and try and compete. That was the main thing. But obviously that got shut down and GB was just a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously Team GB, are you potentially interested in it this year or is it?
I mean, I'd always love to play to GB, of course. I would. But the thing for me is there's a lot of smaller players out there that are just as good as me anyway. So it's kind of obvious that I know for a fact those sort of players would get picked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So I mean, I've like, seen you behind a gun, though. You behind a gun, mate.
Yeah,
you
know. I know I can shoot. I know that full well. I know I can. But I know for a fact there's people that can move a lot better than me. And unfortunately, you need for that kind of level, like I can't stress enough how much NSL level completely outweighs anything in the UK scene.
Yeah, that's actually going to be my next question. Like, how does the...
What, sorry, go on.
That was going to actually be my next question. Like, how do the teams over there, like, compare to, obviously, the UK teams?
Yeah, literally going back to that, it's just that it's a completely different level.
Yeah.
Like, people think, like... So a lot of teams go, yeah, TSR are good. Like, Legion and Unreal. OB are great. You know what I mean? Like, these sort of people over here, yeah. Go and play at NSL and everybody is on that level.
Yeah.
Everybody is on like the top three level. Everybody is. And there's only a few teams where you're kind of like, oh yeah, we can beat them. We can do well with them. Other teams you're like, yeah, we're going to struggle on this. Like we've got to really go in and you have to be on it. You have to be locked in to play those teams.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's hard. And Andrew wasn't joking in your last podcast when he said, look, yeah, you know, you've seen TSR go over and struggle. Yeah, because we got a hard bracket.
Yeah.
The bracket was hard. Every single one of those players and teams were in contender for pro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right? Which they were. And it was a hard bracket to play. And it was no joke.
Yeah. All. Yeah, definitely. So we'll go on to the old famous question. What do you think to the NSL layout this year?
Yeah, it's great, man.
I've heard you played it a little bit in the bunker. I saw the pictures with the barrels and.
So obviously, Luke's tried his best, bless him, to obviously build it. But there's some stuff he can't do and refuses to do. And I fully understand why. I don't understand, and I even asked finds himself like, why have you put the holes in those Doritos?
Yeah, because some of the Doritos got like little slits in them, haven't they?
And I was just like, what was you taking? That was literally my message. I was like, what was you on? I want some. That was where that's literally what I asked. And he just went, I'm just being innovative. I was like, yeah, okay. I rate it. Like, yeah, you do you, man. Like, that's fair. But it's, yeah, it's different, isn't it?
That's one word I could use. Very different.
I think it's not going to be as bad as what people make out, though. I think that the middle sort of section gives you enough cover to do as much as you need to work with the back set. And yeah, all right, the back end's a little bit low down compared to a lot of the rest of the field. But I think with that much stuff built up in the middle, it's not going to matter. I think it's going to cause a lot more blind spots, a lot more issues than what people think when they play.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think I can't remember where I heard it. I think it might have been on the Behind the Mask podcast. He was saying like it's going to be a very Kappa friendly field.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, even like the pro team, was chirping about that quite a lot. Like, oh, well, everything's low down, time to fly a Kappa.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Everybody was kind of on that. And I think the strat will be more Kappas on the field this year.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, you might be able to answer me this, though. There is a cap, isn't there, like, for how many Kappas you can have on the field, is it not? Is it like two Kappas, three rifles or something like that?
No, I think...
Or is that not a rule?
I think it's like a maximum of three rifles.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
I think that's about it. As far as I could be wrong. Don't fully quote me, but I think it's a max of three rifles and a minimum of two.
Five man, all Kappas, let's go.
So, I mean, if you can roll five Kappas, I think if all my lads on the team would do that, because like Finch plays with Kappa, Connie used to play with Kappa. I don't mind it. Ross wouldn't care. He'd throw himself around with a Kappa, and I would, you know, but we've got a few people coming back that are Kappa players, which some people know already. So, yeah, it's going to be different. Hopefully. What's the plans?
Definitely. And obviously, we're coming up to the weekend. You got Pro Series on this weekend.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen this weekend? What teams do you think are going to thrive?
You see, Murder Inc's coming over. So I'm interested.
They did a lot of Speed QB, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think they were a Speed QB band, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're coming over and. It'll be interesting to see how they play. Because I think, if I remember correctly, they sort of mainly do the East Coast circuit, I think. Could be wrong. But it's hard flooring. It's not
asphalt. Ah, okay.
Because if you remember watching at Globals, it's all the hard flooring stuff. It's
Like
polished floors. So it'll be interesting to see how well they can move on Astro. Because it's always better on Astro.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I'll argue that till the day I die, that Astro is so much better to move on.
Yeah.
And, so it'll be interesting to see how they play. I mean, obviously, S2Ns are obviously favourite for field and everything over. Don't worry, I'm not saying there's any controversy or anything there. Don't come at me fine. I'm not saying that. It's their home field. They get a lot of time on it. I'm not trying to say there's any favouritism. Don't come at me, bro. Don't come at me. I think Hekai's going to do some bits as well.
Yeah, so
I'm rooting with them as well because they've got a few UK lads.
Yeah, they got some of the AB guys, haven't they, Hekai?
Yeah. So I want to see Hekai do bits. They did bits at the Globals, to be fair. I think they went like six games up, like without losing one. So they did bits. So if they're on that fire and they're on that smoke again, I reckon they'll do bits back on their home field.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going to be an interesting pro series.
Yeah.
Some great teams in there, like you said, Murder Inc. I've not really seen much of that. I've not watched much of them play, so it's going to be interesting to see how they get on.
It can be quite an aggressive team, to be fair.
Yeah, I see a lot of the clips that I've seen, obviously during the Speed QB and stuff like that. It's a lot of aggressive plays. But I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen the recent rule change? Like some of the rule changes that have came out. Have you had a dabble at them?
I've had a look at them. The manual binary one's quite funny. I mean, yeah, it's shooting a trigger, isn't it? Like, if you shoot a trigger right, of course you can flick it about and it'll shoot mad.
Yeah.
It's one of them where I get it. Like, I understand why they're trying to avoid it. But at the end of the day, you can still rattle a gun without having a manual binary on it.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. You can rattle 30 rounds a second all day. I mean, I do it and I don't have that manual binary thing.
Yeah. But then that leads me to the next question. If there's any rules that you could change, would you change any?
Yo, that's a good question.
I've put you on the spot.
I want it to be less monitored on how to jump bunkers.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
There's certain rules on how to jump bunkers. And unfortunately, I'm a bigger lad, man, but there's times I've been like, yeah, I can hop this. If I put my foot on it wrong or I do this, I'm getting a penalty. So I don't hop it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's one of them where I'd like that to sort of just be kind of, yeah, you can just jump bunkers, because I'm not being daft here, but how sick is it when somebody runs up a Dorito and starts slapping someone's head? Like, that's ace. And mate, I want to see that more. Do you know what I mean? I want to see little bits like that.
But that's literally like my Instagram reels at the minute. It's just a casual speaky VA runs up the bunker and you're dunking on somebody. Like,
everybody wants that highlight of jumping a Dorito and absolutely scoring on some kid's head. Definitely. Everybody wants that.
Definitely. Speaking of, have you seen the new Speed QB site that's opened?
Savage.
Yeah, it's Savage Arena. The guys at Berserker, Savage Arena.
I've seen it, and I will eventually get down and go and play.
Like I said, it's a little bit far for like me and you. Like,
yeah, it's a bit of a like, trek. But I will like to go.
It does. It looks crass. I think one of the guys mentioned as well that they're getting some special flooring down, so it's like kind of like the basketball flooring.
It's similar to the flooring at they used, Extreme Airsoft, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they were on about doing something similar to that, where it's like the polished flooring.
I mean, that's going to be
or
pretty...
Or even not, if it's like basketball flooring, I think it's like some kind of laminate polished stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know too much about it. I'm not a flooring guy. I know it's just super slippy stuff.
Yeah, it should definitely spice things up as well, because I think that's the first place that's doing like the Speed QB kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that should definitely be interesting to see what comps come out of that and stuff like that.
Yeah, it will be.
But let's move on a little bit. Obviously, TSR, they've got a busy year, challenges, and then obviously you've got the Bunker League. What kind of training does it look like? What does training look like at the minute for TSR?
Hectic. So obviously we've got obviously the Bunker League. We're trying to attend that as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously paintball as well.
Yeah.
And then there's also NSL. Now the unfortunate thing is some dates do cross.
Do they?
Not with Bunker too much, but predominantly like NSL and paintball.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to have to decide what we're doing with that.
Okay,
that's kind of a conversation later down the line. But it's hectic, man. Like, if I could pull up my schedule, I would.
I can imagine that.
There's just a full A4 page near enough, and it's just, yeah.
Weekend after weekend.
This month, and you can just see it's pretty much full. Dies off a little bit during the summer, a little tiny bit, but I know for a fact we'll pick up more training slots.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of winter, there's not a lot announced yet, so that's kind of a little bit quiet. Mm. But for the first half of this year, I'm not doing much, mate. I'm training. That's where I'm at. It's just what it is. I mean, predominantly it is airsoft training, because obviously NSL, we're wanting to try and really push ourselves for it this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try eventually and push some paintball training in between the slots when I can.
Yeah.
Because obviously I don't want to take away from too much of the NSL time that we're trying to put in.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And what does like training kind of look like? Is it just straight points? Is it straight drills? Like, what kind of stuff do you do on your trainings?
So when it's just us as a team, we will do half a day of training, half a day of points. Now, half of the day of the points will be either between ourselves, or we will get another team in for half a day. Or we do invite a team and we'll do drills with them if they want to. That's completely down to whoever wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the training against Legion, we literally went in, did a little warm-up sesh, and then after that it was like, right, points, you're working on attacking, that's all you're doing all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's literally what we did.
And
went in every round. Whatever wasn't working, we changed. We tried new things. Like, I think me and Connor ended up swapping positions at the end. He played more snake side. I played Dorito side, kind of thing, like the bag side. So, yeah, we ended up swapping up stuff. It's the only way to kind of learn is just practice and keep going.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of leads me on to, obviously, what I was going to ask anyway. Like, what do you think, obviously, separates, you know, TSR from the other teams? Obviously, the likes of TSR, Legion, you guys are at the top of the game right now. What do you think separates you from other teams, and what do you think gets you there at the top?
We've just been around for a long time, innit?
Mm.
Like, we've got years of, I can't even say team chemistry anymore, because we've swapped and changed that many players.
Mm.
But it's just, we've got a good core of people
yeah.
that care about each other, rather than just, oh, well, I want to just go and like be the best player and then focus on themselves. Everyone wants to work and play as a team.
Yeah.
So like if I'm not playing well that day, even if I'm field captain, whether it's paintball or airsoft, doesn't matter. I turn around and I go, right, look, I'm playing crap. I'm off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll not care about sitting out or making a sacrifice, provided we're going for the win.
Yeah.
And that's all we ever do, is that we care about the win rather than ourselves.
Yeah.
Like more than anything. And yeah, the other part is when we do train hard.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. I think the last session I ended up being sick twice.
Oh, lovely.
Which is rough. Yeah.
Lovely.
So yeah, it's, you know what I mean? We push ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pushing myself quite hard. I want to lose weight. I want to get better. And, you know, last year I lost 4 stone.
That's, oh, nice. Congrats, man. That's
quite big for me. And it's, you know, it's something that we want to do.
Yeah.
That's what we keep doing. You just keep pushing ourselves, really.
Yeah. And obviously you mentioned, obviously you've had a lot of roster changes and that. What does it actually take to be, you know, be a TSR member? Like, what kind of qualities are you, like, looking for?
So, on a lot of it, we tend to just make sure that people can shoot straight. As long as you shoot straight, man, it's fine. Like, you can teach anybody the rest.
Yeah, definitely.
And any decent player in any sport will say you can always learn.
Mm.
Right? And you're never going to win them all, and losing is learning. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing is that as long as you essentially just aren't, you know, like, the easiest term is as long as you're not a dick, man. Oh. Like, as long as you're sound and you get on with everybody, you know, we'll always be saying, like, look, yeah, we want you involved. We like you as a person. We think you're a good player. Let's get you in training with us, train on our sort of strats, how we play, and get used to how we play. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
We'll always try and work with people the best we can. If it doesn't work and they want to go elsewhere, then fine.
Yeah.
There's no bad blood on it. If people are gonna
That's the way to see it, isn't it?
We never want to see people leave, don't get me wrong. We
always
try our most to keep people. But if people want to go, they're gonna go.
Yes.
Yeah. Just the way it is.
No, I completely understand that. So one question I forgot to ask in the previous section was obviously NSL, it's the same layout throughout the whole entire year. Do you prefer that, or do you like the style that we've got in the UK right now, where it's a completely different layout every year, every time?
I'm so in the middle of this, because the one layout, it's down to who can essentially outfrag who, so who can kill who first, and it's down to skill. But whereas it's down to just essentially gun skill and who knows the best lanes, that's about it. But whereas when you change it up like Curtin does and put that much sort of work and effort, it would be like the blind reveals and everything, it makes people have to think differently.
Yeah.
You have to be adaptive, and that shows a team that's willing to learn and be quick on it. And that does separate a lot of teams. Massively separates a lot of teams sometimes. Because if you get some people that have trained one layout, you could have a team that just really isn't that good, but when they learn the lanes, they'll know how to do that one on that one field. But as soon as you start doing what Curtin does, where you change it every event, all of a sudden that team's like, oh, what do I do now? And sometimes they don't pick up that field. Like, they're like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm doing still. And it's like their fifth game in. But when you've got other people like, you know, like even like Legion's your best example, man. They can play a field for a few hours and be like, right, yeah, we know what we're doing now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they'll rotate it. And we've started to get there 100% as a team for ourselves. Connor's very, like, how do I put it? Like, kind of obsessed in, like, learning this stuff. So he really pushes himself to understand it. And he's learned a lot on how to sort of help read a field and things like that. And so he helps with a lot of things on that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, it helps with a lot of it, but it's changing a field. I'd probably say I'd prefer myself a little bit more than sticking to a field.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And I guess it's the same for paintball, right? Is it like a different layout every time, or is it?
Yeah. And I think that's probably where it stems from, really, is that because you're so used to just changing layouts, you've got to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the probably the main thing that I prefer is being able to adapt, and it's something new, isn't it? It's yeah. a little more exciting. It's a little bit more.
I say, especially if you know new shots. If you're stuck with the current layer of 2025, I won't have to play that for the full year.
Mate, it's a mint layout. What are you on about? I'm definitely not going to refer Ross to referring it to a kids' play area.
God, no, like, it reminds me of, like, some like castle defense type
did
stuff.
Did you ever see that story that Ross put up?
With the barrels in that, is that right?
No, yeah, he put the one with the barrels up, and then he compared it to like a fun play area. And the worst thing is NSL shared that themselves, because they were like, yeah, that's great, thanks, share it.
Bosh.
I was just like, oh no.
God. Yeah, so, yeah, it's an interesting one. I've only played the layout once, so I mean, I'm quick to judge, but
yeah, it's not that bad. Fan. I mean, even the makeshift model we did,
that's the one we played on. I think we had a training session like the week after you, and that's what we played on. And I didn't enjoy it too much. Put it that
not
way.
A fan, no.
not a fan.
To be fair though, there's some bunkers missing. Like, it's not Luke's fault. He's obviously not built them up yet, but he's getting there, so he can do it for us. Like, and he's a good lad, and I've got mad respect for Luke.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Luke is absolutely killing it as well.
He doesn't have to go and copy the NSL. Like, and I know for a fact he hates it. Like, he hates the fact that NSL's done this to him. Well, I say they've not done it to him, but he hates the fact how much stuff they've put in on that field. And he's like, I've got to build all this just for people to hate it anyway. Great.
Love it.
But it's not that bad of a lie. Even the makeshift one, I didn't mind.
See what I didn't like? When we played it, I was playing home, and obviously you've seen the home, right? It's just like a tiny like thing, and I'm pretty big, like,
nah,
and I was just trying to hide behind that, like, bro, I
don't
know what to do
here. I'm like 4 foot, 5 foot wide, bro. You can't even come at me and go, oh yeah, that's a narrow bunker. Nah, mate, be my size and then have a look at that bunker, man. I'm double that bunker.
It was impossible to like do anything, but yeah. It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
So in terms of like a comp weekend, how do you guys like prepare? Do you like go down obviously the day before, do a training session, get a B&B and whatnot? Like, how does it kind of work?
So it kind of varies. So if it's something like D23, 9 times out of 10, we tend to just get a hotel. We normally stay at a place called like Sporting Lodge. It's really nice. It's a really nice hotel, to be fair. It's not like super luxury or a lot, but the staff there are sound as.
So we
tend to just go in the bar, and like the manager knows us now, like, because we've been there that many times.
Mm.
So we tend to go there. We'll look over the players. We'll look over the layout. We'll probably like go for a training session that day. We'll do like 2 to 4 hours, depending who we get to train against. Last time we couldn't get to train with anyone on the last event, not the 3-man, the 5-man one.
Oh yeah.
So I think we just played with ourselves and just kind of like played amongst ourselves, doing 3v3s, practicing some breakout shots, this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously next morning get up, go get your typical breakfast of champions, McDonald's, and then
go and smash
the tournament as much of as best as we can, really. And we'll just see where we can go.
Love that. And obviously now, obviously, it's a 2-day kind of tournament, isn't it? Obviously, you got the Saturday and the Sunday now. So I can imagine you'll be spending even more time, 2 double, McDonald's in the mornings.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. It's going to be long.
I think for a full weekend thing, we'll probably change up how we go up there and stuff.
And
then we'll drive up on the morning, stay the night, and then go there.
Oh, you're doing it that way, are you?
Rather than stay 2 nights, man, it gets costly, man.
Absolutely. We was obviously talking about it in the obviously with the cartel, and we was like obviously going down. Even if we go down on the Friday for training, and it's like I've just spent 2 nights there.
Yeah, because I think Speed Cartel is similar to us, where we've got people all over the place. Like,
Connor
Blessing's like in the Wales side, man.
He's in Wales, Connor.
Yeah, like he lives Wales side, man. So he's like. The furthest away, man.
What's his driving time for a D23 tournament?
About 4 hours.
Oh, gosh.
But he still does it, man. The guy's dedicated, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I did not know Connor was in Wales.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all over. We've got people like towards like Liverpool Way. We've got people down, like me, Chesterfield, like Nottingham side. You've got people around that way. You've got people like towards Chester and everything, I think. So we've got people
spread out everywhere.
Yeah, so we're not just like one local team or anything.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, definitely. So jumping on to obviously the speed stuff scene as a whole, obviously you've experienced it from pretty much the early point to obviously where it is now. And how have you seen that, you know, have you seen that changes and have you seen the sport evolve?
Yeah, it's grown to a point where there's more teams. And as much as there's still some of the banter around, it's definitely not as toxic as it was.
Yeah.
Like when it first started, man, it was so rough. Even when the people at NSL were saying, yeah, that seems toxic. And I was like, yeah, it is. Like the scene was rough. But I think it's changed a lot from that now, where people have kind of just been like, ah, it is what it is. There's still some people that like the drama and everything, and it's still there, but it's generally not as bad. And I think the skill level is slowly coming up.
Yeah.
I think we just need more teams involved. And if there is teams out there playing, like, don't just sit there and go, oh, well, there's these really good people playing or whatever, blah, 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 and they've been playing for ages. Like, and I'm not talking about just us. Like, even Speed Cartel have been around for a while now. You know, you've got, like, MCR Swarm's new, but there's some players in there that have been playing since the start as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if he's just swapped out again. But there was like, this is like, I mean, there's new teams. I've got players in it that have got the experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But there's other new teams out there, like even like Flashbang, for example. They've been around for a good while. But everybody's improving, but you're never going to improve unless you just get involved.
Yeah.
And sitting there going, oh, I don't know how we'd get smashed by these lot. Nah, stop that, man. Go in and give it everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, look at what VPR did originally. Everyone was like, oh, they're just going to be a show team, they're going to be this, that, the other. They came in third place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I called that from the morning. Like, you can ask my team, you can even ask like Matt. Like, I went up to him the first thing in the morning. I was, yeah, I think you guys are going to do well. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, I think you'll be fine. I think people are going to underestimate you.
I said the exact same thing. Do not underestimate them, because I think they're going to come out swinging. And that's exactly what they did.
I saw who they were playing with. Do you know what I mean? Like, OB had gone down and played with them. You had McSwain used to play with them quite regularly. Key had gone down there.
Oh, yeah, they were trading like every weekend, right?
Yeah, and they were playing regularly. So people just seeing them as like, oh, they're just these Instagram teams. No, they came out third place.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So you never know, man. That's like someone else could be that team. They just need to enter if they have got a team.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And obviously, if you look back, obviously, when the scene first started and compare it to now, there's been a massive, obviously, growth in teams. Obviously, there's now more sites available. So definitely changing. And obviously, the rules as well, like in terms of obviously when it first started, it was just kind of like flag and that. But now we've obviously got dead buzzers and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely developing.
It definitely switches the game up now with the buzzers.
Oh yeah,
Some of them buzzers and some of the way they work, it makes the game a little bit more interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely. And what do you think it's going to take to bring more people and grow the scene even more? What do you think should be introduced, or is there anything that you can think of?
I don't really know. This is the hard thing, man. Like, I don't really know how to sort of say how to grow the scene because someone that's been in it for so long, I've kind of just sat firm with it and I'm kind of comfortable with it now. So I don't really know what it takes to sort of say, oh, well, actually, we need this, we need that. But it's literally what I was just saying in the last sort of sentence then was just if somebody has got a team and they're scared about doing it, just do it.
Just
sign up. Don't be scared to sign up and just do it. Make that drive as well. Like a lot of people, so the amount of times I've heard people go, oh, it's an hour and a half drive, or it's a 2-hour drive. And I don't know if I can bother to do that. It's a bit long. Sure, bro. I've done 4.5 hours, 5 hours driving to go for a training session, let alone a comp, man.
I mean, mate, look at the Pirates.
They
trek some miles, traveling.
Ireland, man. Like, these guys are doing like hours worth of ferries and driving on top of that.
Madness.
And then I've got people telling me like they can't be asked to do a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, you can ask anyone in my team. I do hours and hours of driving just to go and collect my team and sort my team out and get them to an event.
Yeah.
On top of driving to the events.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you're dedicated enough, man, and you want it, you'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I'll spin the kind of question a little bit. So paintballers, what do you think, obviously in theory, what do you think it would take for them to try Speed Soft Like, what do you think maybe might be stopping them?
It's
or do
hard,
you reckon they just don't know about it?
It's that stigma, isn't it? Like, everyone goes, oh,
fake was bad. Speed soft's bad.
speed soft's like, you know, it's not straight, shall we say, and all that sort of stuff. Like, they'll say stuff like that, and it's like, oh, it's not my sport, it's stupid. If you're going to play a shooting sport, why don't we just use like paintball? It's been there for a long time. It's pure, this, that, and the other. And it's like, as much as I prefer paintball, Speedsoft is still a shooting sport. It's still a thing. And it is. And it just all you got to do is just go give it a go in it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like it, fair, you don't like it. And I think a lot of people are put off with it, though, because of like the cheating aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are put off with it. I know it happens in painting still, but it becomes where it's a lot harder to sort of not get caught. You know?
Funny mention that. I actually watched this really funny paintball video. This guy wiping, bro. He was just sat in his bunker.
Not me, is it?
No. It's like no one in the speed stuff at all. But he peeks out, literally gets shot in the hopper. You just see him like duck down, just go, and just straight back up, bro.
Is that the guy wearing the black jersey, the big lad?
Yeah.
Take the hopper. Yeah. Yo, that's Colt from Paintball Fit.
Oh, is he?
So he's shooting away, he gets clapped in the hopper, just comes down and goes,
no. I mean, 10 out of 10 for the old.
I'm hoping he's done that just to take the mic.
I
can't say nothing, man. I've been caught in 4K. It's on Snap and Shoot's profile. You can go on it and have a look. He caught me flat.
Oh,
4K.
That's where you got shot in the light. Was it like the finger?
I got clipped in my chest and it hit my tank. Now me, I just went, ha, there? And then she was just like, no, you're clear. And I was like, okay. And just carried on.
Yeah.
It was completely oblivious. But in actual reality, I technically cheated, didn't it? It is what it is. And people are going to clip that now, don't they? I'd be like, oh, look, I cheated. But no, yeah.
Well, that's going to be the intro of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I cheat. Oh, psych.
But no, it's you know, sometimes you do question it, don't you? Because it's like in paintball, some of them, they don't actually splatter, do they? Or go all over you. Like, they just kind of...
There's some madness calls in paintball. So I got told by a ref when I guested for a team in Div 3. I got hit on my side and it kind of hit me, bounced off me, but then broke in midair. And he called me out for that.
Oh, wow.
And he said it's called a clean break. Apparently. Now, I don't know if he's just messing with me on this because he knew I didn't know or whether it's a genuine thing. But yeah, it hit the side of me, bounced off me, didn't break on my jersey or anything. It was clean and it just splattered him in there and he was like, out, and just pulled me out.
Fair enough.
So it's basically a case of if it hits you and splats, it's a hit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas in airsoft, you can't see their marks.
Mm.
So lots of people are like, yeah, here's what it is.
I'll tell you one thing you'll be able to confirm for me. Say the paintball hits the bunker and bounces and hits you. Does that count?
Yes.
That's mental.
I've had it done to me.
Bro,
had it done to me really badly as well. Like, we played a 3-man event and I was holding the left lane from the center, swapped to right. And as I swapped, it bounced off a bunker and I didn't know it hit my pack and splattered. Mm. And at this point, I've laced another 20 rounds down while it's hit me.
Yeah.
Red flag. I'm pulled. Carl gets pulled and Harrison gets pulled. All three of us off field. Boof, gone.
Damn.
That's it. 3-man event done. But, all right, sick. Sick.
Because
that was from a ricochet thing. Yeah.
I saw this clip and it's hard to explain, but there's a guy here and then the bunker was here and then the guy was like to the right and he was shooting his bunker.
Shoots the 200 and hits the 300.
Yeah, he's just like shooting it, he bounces. Like, oh, wow. Has he got a call that now?
Yeah, that's a genuine thing. If you can bounce shot someone to hit him in paintball and it breaks, that's it, out.
That's mad. Because obviously we don't have that in airsoft. It's like, that's a ricochet.
Yeah, ricochets,
so obviously.
Yeah, don't count. I think that's a lot of problems with the airsoft thing as well. Yeah. Is that obviously people get hit with ricochets and they're like, yeah, it's definitely ricochet. It might not be, man. The amount of times you'll hit someone and they're like, oh, I didn't feel it properly. That's ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what a lot of people do.
Definitely, yeah. So we'll jump on to a little bit about your gear. So obviously, what do you run? Obviously, you run a rifle. You're a rifle player. Is that right?
Yeah.
What do you run?
So I now run an SKP.
You mean the article's gone?
Yeah, article's gone.
That's gone.
The article, it was an animal of a build, the article.
Oh, yeah. That thing deep.
And it was sick. I need to do some little bits to this, but I'll get it shooting like a laser again. I know I will. It'll be fine. But yeah, the article I ended up selling to one of the lads in ECS. I think they've bought like two or three builds off me now. Those part lads. Like,
you know what it is, mate? You know,
I look after my stuff and they're like, yeah, I'll buy it from you.
You know Jarvo, he must literally buy so many guns, bro.
He brought, man's like, got more money than sense. I love Jarvo.
He literally brought one of Keen's guns over there.
Yeah. Just like, he just, the amount of times he was in the same pit as us at the last tournament. And I turned around and he's just like, just pulling like guns out on stands. One, and I'm like, two. What are you doing? He was like, yeah, they're mine. I was like, tick. Okay, cool. Man's just pulling out like $3,000.
At what
riffs,
point
like,
are we
no going to
say, he's addicted?
mate, man's got more money than sense. He has to. I'd love to know what he does for work.
Definitely,
it's got to be secretive work. It has to be.
Definitely. So SPKP, obviously you guys are sponsored by SPKP, is that right?
Yeah, 2025 sponsor this year. So,
hey, let's go.
We're buzzing with that.
Yeah, no, the guy at SKP is an absolute legend. Obviously, I've mentioned it,
mate,
when I was talking to AB.
Such a sound dude.
Yeah.
He really is.
It's so really good. Sound. Helped me so much as well, obviously, getting the build, asking all the questions,
yeah,
making sure that it was right
got,
for me and that.
Yeah, if anybody wants any info, man, like, he'll happily respond. And you don't normally get that with a lot of companies where you'll get an instant response that quick, or you'll get the direct answer. Like, he won't mess you about. He'll just say, yeah, do this, and it'll be sound. And the advice he gives is unreal. Like, it's always right.
Yeah, definitely. So where do you see yourself going in 5 years' time, let's say? I mean, how old are you now? How old are you now? You can say the exact age, you say rough.
I'm 32.
32?
I'm 33 in a couple of months, yeah.
Okay.
I'm old, mate. Like, I'm old,
you know what? I actually was going to say, are you in your 20s? But I mean...
Oh, no, I appreciate that.
It's just a good look, right? Nah.
But it's one of them where unfortunately, I'm a lot older. Finch as well. Me and him are kind of the old ones of the group. I'm not going to lie, man. I still do bits against some of you young boys. I'm just saying.
Oh, definitely.
Just saying. But yeah, you can feel it now. So in 5 years, I'm going to, I'll probably be retired, man. Or I'll just be playing one sport.
Yeah. Oh, well, so you think you're going to be fully like out the scene completely, or?
Yeah, I might coach.
Maybe. As you say, I mean, why
I
not?
I might help. I might ref. Refing might be a thing. I know Kurt had tech me on. I know he likes me to ref.
Oh, definitely.
He loves me, really. I think, I don't know. Maybe in a few years, speed soft might have to take a break from me. I think I'm too old for that, man. It's a young lad's game, man. Like, it just is.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'd love to see, coach a team. Coach with these new young guys. Yeah. Obviously, to be fair, like, a lot of younger people are getting into, obviously, speed soft now. You see, some people in even as early as 13, 14 getting into speed soft now. So, I mean, they're going to need a coach.
Yeah, maybe. So, might be a thing.
Yeah. And is there any goals, obviously, that you, as a team, TSR, have set yourselves for this year?
We really want to push for the Pro League for NSL. That's something we want to push. We know it's going to be hard. We're not taking it lightly. And it's something we really want to do.
Yeah.
So it is something we're trying to push.
Oh, no, absolutely. And what about yourself? Have you got any, obviously, personal goals you want to work towards?
I just want to lose more weight, man.
Bro, I'm in the same boat. I've been trying. Like,
it's for me, man, I've got this really sad addiction called food. And it's...
Oh, mate. I think I know what you're talking about.
And it's just that it's one of them, mate, where unfortunately I struggle losing weight because I've got a really crap metabolism.
Yeah.
It's one of them where I'll look at a piece of fruit and I gain like 10 pounds. It's rough. Yeah. But yeah, I want to push myself to just be better. Like on the sidelines, I go to like a local site called Skirmish Paintball and I go and do drills there. On my own kind of thing, so I'm always trying to improve.
Yeah, bro, send me an invite next time you go. I'm literally 5 minutes down the road.
Never.
Skirmish is literally like 5 minutes away from me.
Madness, I didn't know this.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we'll definitely sort some out. Cause
no, definitely.
It's one of them where I know we're wanting to do bits in paintball as well. Mm. So, but yeah, no, this year's sort of goals for me is I want to just make myself better overall, not just as a player, but myself. As an individual.
Yeah. And sorry, one thing I forgot to ask as well is, do you see any players like coming from overseas, coming over to the UK and, you know, giving the UK a try?
I think they should. I think it'd be interesting. And I think,
I mean, by the sounds of it, it sounds like it might be easy money for them.
Mate, yeah. Like, if some of them teams came over, mate, they'd like shock a lot of the UK.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a massive win.
Some of the lads that you see play over there, and I know for a fact, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to put them down, but there's some teams over there which are obviously kind of a more normal pace, right? But them teams would still come over here and do bits. Oh, and yeah. I mean, like, ruin people. Like, they would, because they are very good players, because they play a lot. And if when you sort of start to know them people on an individual level, you understand how much they play, because they just talk about it like it's a pure passion for them. But yeah, it's crazy how some of them people play.
Oh yeah.
So I think it'd be interesting to see how they did if they came over.
I think hopefully we see them coming over, because I mean obviously no shade to NSL, but obviously NSL, they don't do any cash prizes or anything like that.
Oh, so yeah, obviously that as well.
It'd be good to see obviously some of these teams from the EU competing and, you know, maybe even earning a bit of cash from it.
Yeah.
So I think that'd definitely be cool. And obviously I can imagine a lot of the teams in the UK would benefit from learning as well. So hopefully we see some come across.
Yeah, yeah.
But in your experience of Speedsoft, what has been like your absolute top moment?
Top moment. I don't know, man. There's been a few massive ones. I think the Nations thing for me was pretty big. Seeing NSL for the first time, it was such a good experience overall. It was fantastic.
Was Wales the first time that you went to NSL?
First time I stepped to the arena, and it was just such a surreal feeling. And then it was at the point where I was like, it got quite emotional when I was leaving. And I was like, man, I've really enjoyed it here. It's unreal. And I was like, I've got to come back here with my lads.
Yeah.
And I think taking our lads for the first time for C2 and the way we played really showed everything. And it's kind of got everybody kind of like, yeah, I want to go again.
Hungry for it.
Yeah, definitely.
But to be fair, I'm surprised you didn't say about the is it the Wenger boys moment?
Oh yeah, mate.
Do you talk like that a little bit? The Wenger boys.
Oh man, that was a madness. So originally, Curtin basically messaged me. He was like, "Yo, this event's not going to go on. They need one more team. What are you saying? You in?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not?" So I was not going into it. Why not? Yeah, I'll do it. And then next minute, Kinraid was like, "Oh, well, I'm free. I'll come." So like, pull Kinraid in. And then Craig was like, "Yeah, I'm down." I was like, "Yeah, we're going to wear Hawaiian t-shirts." He went, "I'm definitely down." And then next minute, I know Kurt is going, "Oh, yeah, just so you know, I've got a Legion Tyson." And I think it was Bell. It might have been Bell. It might have been one of the other lads. I can't remember. But he was like, "Oh, yeah, I've got two of the Legion lads coming as well." I was like, "Bro, we're just going to do this for fun. Why are we pulling Legion lads in? What's going off?" And he was just like, "Funny, innit?" I was like, "Yeah, okay, I can't wait to see like Tyson in a Hawaiian t-shirt." You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be hilarious. We rocked up. Turns out Tyson and the other lad couldn't play because they'd locked their gear in the car that day. They had to come down in another car.
Lovely.
So they messed themselves up with that. And then we played 4v5 all day and somehow won.
Fair enough.
We played a man all day. Play a man down all day and won. And I think we only dropped like two or three rounds in tie day.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And that was at level 2, right?
Yeah, yeah. That Damn. Was level 2, yeah.
Damn. I remember. I mean, the Instagram picture is still on the profiles, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a moment to remember.
It was a fun moment. It was one of them where Curtin even said, he went, "Just so you know, if we win this, I'm phoning you in the car and all I'm going to do is just laughing." And as soon as I got on the road, man, I got a phone call answering it. I was like, "Hello," and all I heard was "Nah." It was just him laughing on the phone, like going mad. And I was just like, "Yeah." I said, "How did we do that?" And he went, "I don't know." He went, "I don't know how we did that."
Class, man. Class.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So obviously next year, well, this year, sorry, we've obviously got the divisions. Obviously, you got Div 1, Div 2. Obviously, you guys, you're in Div 1, are you not? Is it Div 1?
Yes, yeah,
yeah,
yes,
Div 1. Yeah. What teams do you think are going to come on top on Div 2?
Oh God, I'm terrible with remembering
things. I mean, off the top of my memory, I mean, to be fair, I've asked you a question that I didn't even know the answer to. But there's like, I think, PSB, MCR, who else we got? Yeah, I can't even remember half the teams in the UK right now.
A Flashbanger and Div 2, are they in Div 1?
Flashbanger no longer. They've disbanded. Yeah, the players have gone. Some players have gone elsewhere. I don't know if I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge, but you've got obviously Jono, who's gone to OB. He was obviously one of the main guys at Flashbang.
Yeah, I've seen that. All right,
nice. You got one of the other players.
I didn't know they'd fully disbanded. I thought Hicks was just taking a break and he was just like, yeah, I'm doing this.
Well, I mean, obviously they're not taking part in this league this year. I mean, they might, who knows, they might come back next year.
Yeah, it was such an underrated team, man.
Yeah, I would say the same. You know, they did well, especially...
They had some shots, man. They were good players.
Absolutely. I just think, obviously, a couple of the players, obviously I knew someone that played for Flashbang, I was quite close to him. He's obviously just had a kid and now he's no longer even playing Speedsoft at all. So, and he was one of the main players,
Yeah, life is life, we get it.
Definitely. But yeah, I think that's what it just came down to. I think just not getting the players there and that, I think.
Oh, shame. But no, I think PSP did all right in the last tournament, I think.
Oh, definitely.
I think if they really put into it and they work really well as a team, they could do bits.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, they train pretty much on a weekly basis now at Speed Arena. And obviously now they're, I don't know if you've seen, they're sponsored by Berserker as well.
Yeah, I've seen that. So, I mean, changed their name up from the Berserker Airsoft team, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I definitely think they're going to do good this year. I mean, I'm
rooting
for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do. And I think as long as they don't let egos take control and work as a team, well, they'll be fine. The hardest thing is keeping people's ego in check. And I'm not saying that as just them. I mean, people in general. Egos can really kill teamwork massively. There's a very thin line between confidence and ego.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Very thin line.
I think that's what, you know, a fair few players / teams need to obviously to not have as an ego.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, we've got an interesting division, right? Division One. That's gonna be it's gonna be a fun one. Obviously, you've got OB that are now back in the scene, so they have obviously joined in Div One.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got Speed Cartel, TSR, Legion, and I think Legion Academy are also in Div 1 as well.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a good division, I think. It's gonna be a good one. Definitely.
Yeah, it'll definitely be some really aggressive games and hard games. For sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, mate, I've mentioned it in pretty much every podcast now. Watching, you know, you guys versus Legion, bro, it is looking a match made in heaven. I enjoyed watching it every time. Yeah. They're always good games to watch. And even when obviously you guys face OB as well, it's going to be a great game to watch.
Yeah.
But
it's always a close one.
Oh, yeah, always.
Not just like with Legion, but with OB.
Yeah.
Like, even at like NSL, I think it was like either a hang or a point difference. Like, there was always just one thing in between it. And it's something where we have done bits against them in the past where we've beaten them sort of like group stages and stuff, and like we've done little bits like that, but obviously they are a good team. They're solid, they work well, they've got a lot of fast, aggressive players. I know they've gone through a bit of a roster change, but that roster's still no joke now. Like, they can do bits with that roster for sure. Obviously Legion's come back on it. They're definitely going to be doing bits again. And then obviously the academy team's coming in. They've got some good players in that academy team now as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting for sure. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting for sure. Right. So we'll jump onto like the last kind of segment, and this is kind of like the Q&A's that I've got from the old Instagram story.
Oh God, here we go.
So we'll go through a couple of these. There's quite a few, to be fair. But we'll start off with one from the Pirates. Why is Ash so sexy?
You need to go Specsavers. That's not right.
Okay. so I can't. This guy's asked to go anonymous, but he's asked, who is the most autistic player on TSR?
John, John, 100%. I love the kid to pieces.
I cannot confirm or deny.
His nickname is Nasty. For those who don't know, on his jersey it says Nasty.
Mm.
But the kid is such a sound lad, and I love him to pieces, man. But he's definitely got a little sprinkle of autism. Like, he really has. But he likes tractors and F1. It's a bit of a weird combo, man. He'll say, "Oh, it's not tractors, it's tractor pulling." Same thing. It's tractors, mate. You're into tractors.
Into tractors. Yeah, no,
he's definitely got that little bit of sprinkle there, man.
Hey, you should start a TikTok. And what's the guy name that likes the trains on TikTok? Is it Francis?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, Francis. He could be like the Francis version, but tractors.
Just do it like tractor pulling events. Just, yeah, tractors.
Love it. I love it.
He's going to kill me for saying that as well. I know he is. He's going to go mad.
One of the other questions that we got was, I mean, kind of spoke a little bit about it, but it was from Trixie, one of the old Fast Gang members. I don't know if you...
Trix.
Yeah, Trix. And he put basically thoughts on the Level 2 era and changes since.
Improvement, isn't it? Like, everything improves over time. Like, Level 2 back then was great. There was obviously... We always tried to push, like, hey, look, man, is there a way you can sort of extend the arena? Can you do this? Can you do that? Eventually, he obviously sort of said, look, yeah, I've had enough. The scene was too toxic, which it was.
I can imagine it was thrown off.
He was just like, yeah, do you know what? Nah, I said it, I'm done.
Mm.
Last season, I'm done. Can't bother with it. And from there, obviously, Curtains took it on. He's opened, obviously, Bunker and everything. And he's doing bits, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's absolutely made a massive change in the scene. It's been a lot of positives. Yeah, there's been, like I said, a few little bits of drama here and there, but unfortunately it's sports, man. It's competitive. People get aggressive sometimes, people get a little bit aggy. Like, you know what I mean? It happens.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Yeah, definitely. But
it's improved. It has improved.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, even just the facilities, like, obviously I've never been to Level 2, so I've no bashing at Level 2 or anything like that, but obviously what I've been heard, it was a fairly small arena.
It was a decent length. It was still for the time. The UK had nothing else.
Had nothing else. Yeah, exactly.
So it was still fun to play at.
Yeah.
The only thing is obviously he was very limited to what he could do, layout wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then obviously the scene as well. It just kind of killed it off. So it is what it is. But yeah, it's good.
One of the guys from ECS Academy is asking, what's your opinion on newer teams? It's kind of a difficult one.
In what way?
In whatever way you want.
Do I rate new teams? Yeah, of course, man. Like, get on it. Get involved, man. It's a fun sport. Get involved.
Mm.
Just prepare to have no money in your bank, innit? But like, just prepare to be broke for the rest of your life. It sounds
literally.
And then the other side of it is don't come into it too gun heavy, man. Don't come in with some sort of ego when you've not achieved anything. Like, you get too many people coming into this sport now with this ego on their heads because they've smashed some people in CQB for a few months.
Mm.
And they give it this whole, yeah, we're going to smash everybody. We're on top. We're the beasts. Blah, 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 this, that, the other. And then they get slapped up and then they wonder why.
Yeah,
because you've just annoyed everybody in the scene. They're going to come after you, man. Your head's on a plate now. Like, you're their target now. So come in with it, learn, and just have fun. Like, get involved, get playing. Don't. You don't need to come in giving it everything, man. Just come in, play, have fun, sign up, try your best.
Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
Cool. We've got another one from 187 Doc.
And, oh, no, not Doc.
He's asking. Why is he so handsome and his voice feels like hot chocolate?
Oh, man. Doc, you need to stop this. I'm going to get a restraining order, I swear. This guy, mate, Doc, he's unreal. He's a mad character, but I wouldn't change him, man. He's such a sound dude. And if you need help, he'll help you. And, like, he Keanu had issues with his kappa. Doc just came in and was like, what do you need? This, bang, took it away, came back, fixed, there you go.
Love that.
Sound. Even outside the arena, like, one of my bulbs went in the car, and I was like, Doc, have you got one of these bulbs? And he was like, yeah. And he just changed my bulb. Help me change my bulb. The guy's such a sound dude, and I love him to pieces. But no, I am I don't know. I don't see myself as handsome. And my voice is probably a little bit rough right now because I've got this cold thing, the same as you have. But yeah, no, it's I love Doc, man. Love Doc.
Love that. Dakarisoft is asking, how do you stay so positive in a toxic sport?
It is hard. I'll not lie to you. And you can pretty much ask anybody, man. It's very rare I lose my head. And it's very rare I try and get drawn into the drama. Like, me, for one, like I hate like the WhatsApp group things. Like,
oh, yeah. Man,
the
WhatsApp's
positivity side of it. Man, yeah, I've stayed out of them for so long.
Bro, it is fishy to heaven. Nah. Everyone's trying to get a bite. Everyone's trying to call someone.
I know. And I'm not on it, mate. I'm not part of that. Mm. You can say whatever you want, you can at me. I'll just come in and be like, yeah, sad. Like, to see you, I'm not like, but the positivity of it is, man, is like, it's a sport, you're there to compete. You need to not let other people's toxic attitudes in a heated environment get to you.
Yeah,
because if you lose your head, you're going to lose the competition. They've already won, they've already beat you. And if you're able to stay positive and keep refreshed and everything else, you will succeed a lot better. And it's also, I'm a pretty chill guy anyway.
Yeah.
So I tend to not get too stressed out with too much toxic sort of environments anyway.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a benefit for me. I tend to rant with my mates rather than rant to everyone else.
No, I get you. Yeah, exactly what you just said there. Obviously, you know, you're here to play, you know, competitive. But you're here to enjoy the time, obviously, with your buds as well, your mates, and just give it your all, really. Yeah. So,
something I said to, I think it was the first time I played Fast Gang, was I didn't speak to them all day. And then after when I played them, I went over, said good games, everything else. And I said, look, I'm sorry I've been a little bit miserable with you all day, but business is business at that point.
Yeah.
Until business I played business. You. It's game, mate. Like, your game, your head's in my target.
I've noted that then for when Div 1 comes around, and I'll just not talk to you till after.
Hey, business is business, bro. Business. I'll not hype myself up, because at that point, mate, I need to be in this kill switch mentality of I've got to get you. That's it. I can't be your friend on that.
I respect you, man.
I have to switch off, man. It's just the way I am. I have to. Like, a lot of people will tell you, I'll put headphones in and I'll just zone out.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then last one on the Q&A, there was a lot more of you know, why is Ash so sexy? But
that comes up everywhere. I don't know why.
But Caboose, who plays for MCR, is asking, who was the first team that you played for? I mean, we kind of spoke about it at the beginning, but
predominantly it was just TSR, man.
TSR.
Like, I played with like a little bit of a kind of operator Mill City team for a little bit.
Hey, operator Ash.
Yeah, mate, don't you dare go to my Instagram and find some of them horrible pictures, man, wearing like digital ACU camo and all that.
Oh, wow.
What was I doing? But no, that seemingly evolved into Speedsoft, and the main team I've always played with is TSR.
Yeah.
It always has been. The only other sort of side teams I've played with was Venger Boys for a laugh. Mm-hmm. I made a little paintball team with one of the lads from Skirmish called Straight Ballers. And that's about it, really, on the side. That's all I've really played with.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. And, that's pretty much everything I've got to ask. Is there anything that you want to say to the guests that maybe I haven't asked you?
People just need to just be, like, a little bit nicer to people, man.
Oh, yeah.
stop the toxicity crap, man. Let it go, innit? Like, let that shit go. Like, what happens on the field stays on the field, innit?
Oh, yeah.
Bring it into some group chat. And, like, if a team's had a bad day, just let it go. Don't just keep bringing it up, innit? Like, yeah, all right, we've had bad days, man, but just look at the medals behind us and the trophies behind us. Do you know what I mean? It happens to our team a lot. Unfortunately, a lot of people give us a lot of shit whenever we do bad.
I think, to be fair, it goes back to one of the... I don't know if it was on one of the podcasts I've done, but one of the podcasts with Mick Sway, and he was saying, like, when you're at the top, everyone's going to hate on you. And that's, you know, that's what
true.
It is.
It's true.
Everyone's going to try and drag you down. That's what it is.
It was a quote of, you're doing something right if people hate you.
Yeah, exactly, man. So it just goes to show, I mean.
Well, that's why I said, that's what I'm saying, man. Just be nice to the people, man. You live once, innit? Get over it.
Definitely, man, definitely. But no, it is absolutely great to talk with you, Ash. And hopefully no, we can grab some games soon, maybe on the paintball field or the airsoft field.
This weekend you're playing us, right? You're there?
At the train, I'm not actually there, unfortunately.
I'm
a bit of a pussy. I've pulled my hamstring and I've just tried to let it recover ready for the league. So I'm not there. I mean, to be fair, the funds are looking low as well. I won't lie.
What I said, man. You're playing the sport, expect to have no money.
Absolutely no money. But where can everybody find you on the social media?
At Ashes, or just type in ASHRZ, or just look at Team Speed Reapers as well.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I should shout out some of the guys that have looked after us as well.
Definitely, yes, definitely.
High Pressure Airsoft, HPA UK, top lads. They've been with us since day one, pretty much. They've always looked after us. Shout out to Score Performance. We've just partnered with Armstrax this year. Shout out to them lads as well. We've got some fire kit, which you'll probably see soon.
Oh, is it New Jersey design, is it?
That's some good stuff.
I look forward to it.
It looks a lot more aggy now. It's nice. I've changed up a little bit. Nice.
I love it.
Who else we've got going on? We've got Super Dead, Savus, who's these boys right here. They make some.
I was gonna say, I wondered who the hat was from
Savus. It's such a comfy beanie, man. I won this one in a giveaway before we got sponsored with them. But I was just like, yeah, this is good stuff.
Definitely. I mean, even the
pants are amazing.
Yeah, the pants are unreal, man. So for the price as well,
the price, mate.
I'm ready to stock up.
Yeah, it's really good. Another set on the next order.
Definitely.
Oh my god, also we got El Diablo. Obviously, Roxy Army headbands.
Fire headbands.
Sickest headbands in the game. Like,
absolutely.
They're some of the most sickest designs. They're so comfortable. They're well made.
He plays paintball, right, Roxy?
Yeah,
is that right? I don't know if it was you or one of the other guys, but someone shared obviously him was it training and that.
Yeah, he plays paintball. Yeah, yeah. I think he's near, not far off pro level.
Oh, is it? Damn.
For European standards,
yeah.
He's a very, very good player.
Oh, okay.
He's very good. He knows a lot. And he came and played with us for one round just as a guest and just come and played for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
He's such a sound dude in person as well.
Decent.
Headband game on top of them, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I think that's pretty much everyone we have. I might have. Oh, of course, yeah. BZ Paintball, man.
BZ.
The boys for paintball, my paintball guys. Yeah, no. BZ Paintball, man. Top lads. They've looked after us all season last year, with the prices for paint being expensive. They looked after us for a better price. When we needed stuff, they were just like, yeah, here, we'll sort it out later. Tent stuff, go win. That's all they cared about. They were like, just go win, so you hold the flag again. Go away.
The guys at BZ, man, they're unreal.
They're so sound.
Stay tuned, you know. They might even appear on a podcast soon. Who knows? Who knows?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who knows, you know?
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, they're good lads. They're good lads. You'll have a good laugh with them.
Definitely. That's everyone. Hopefully there's no more that you've missed. We'll find out.
I have forgot you, man, by now. Tag you in an Instagram post, I swear.
But I'll leave all the links down below for Asher's social media so you can follow him as well. I'm pretty sure there's an OnlyFans down there somewhere.
Just feet only, you've got nothing else.
But no, honestly, bro, I appreciate you coming on. I hope you've enjoyed it as well. But I'll leave you one last question. Who would you like to see next on the podcast?
Oh, yo, that's crazy.
By the way, this can be a speed softer or a paintballer. Who knows?
Yo, you need to get snap and shoot on him.
Snap and shoot.
Like, ask him from a third person perspective about the sport, like, because he's seen speed soft, he plays paintball. Connor from Snap and Shoot, man, you need to get on this and stop catching me at 4K cheating, bro.
But no, we'll leave the episode there. I hope you've all enjoyed, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Bye. Peace.